Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging out with me. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. I'm glad you're here. Bill Brandt is with us. Bill is our good friend, a longtime member of our Brain Trust, the president of Development Specialists Incorporated, which is an organization that helps companies and banks work out their issues, which means that Bill's business is probably pretty darn good right now. Right, Bill?
It is, Jim. Our concept of marketing has been reduced to answering the phone.
Opening the doors. Welcome back, Bill. How you doing?
I'm doing fine, Jim. And how are you this holiday
weekend? Doing great. Hope you and your family have a great holiday.
As I warn you every year, when you sit down at the Thanksgiving dinner, make sure they cut up the right turkey.
That's exactly right. Hey, Bill, I wanted to get your thoughts on... I told the audience that in addition to your many other talents and contributions to mankind, you're also a Democrat operative. Now,
that's a big contribution to mankind. But go ahead.
That is, yeah. We certainly need more of those. But
it appears.
By the way, notice I called you a Democrat operative, not a Democratic operative.
You're doing that Republican thing, but I've known you so long, I'll let you get away with it.
I'd like your thoughts on some of the appointments that... Before we go there, though, I got to ask this question. I have never before heard of an office called the Office of the President-Elect. Now, tell me, is there any precedent for that?
Sure. If you sign a lease, you know, and they deliver mail, they deliver it to the Office of the President-Elect.
Seriously, you know, listen, have you ever seen... I'm having a little bit of fun.
And I got to tell you, do you remember the FAW presidential seal that they trotted out? What, about 6 or 7 months ago?
Oh yeah, yeah.
And I'm a Democrat, but even I think occasionally things are over the top. And you're right, Jim. That's over the top.
Office of the President-Elect. I looked in the Constitution yesterday. I didn't find that anywhere, Bill. But I thought that was kind of interesting. That might be a little foretelling there, folks. But anyway, all right. I had my fun with that. Talk to us about some of the appointments that he's made.
Well, I think actually, you know, that Doris Kearns Goodwin book that everybody's talking about, it sets the tone for this. He is just like Lincoln, and I'm not trying to compare him to Lincoln, but I'm saying by way of mode, he is embracing all of his rivals and putting together what the Israelis would call a unity government across all efforts. He's got, I think he'll probably leave Gates in at defense. There'll be maybe one or two other Republicans. He's reached out to his primary opponents and a great spectrum of thought in the Democratic Party. So that augurs well. It tells me that there's somebody strong enough in personality and in self-confidence to tolerate dissenting views, and you and I would differ about this, but I happen to think if there were stronger dissenting views in the cabinet over the last 8 years, we might not be in the fix we're in.
And well, I might not disagree with you as much as you think about that. Part of what he's done, it seems to me, is he's been thoughtful, and he has been savvy in his picks, meaning that he's picked good people, but he's also found good people that would sort of neutralize the opposition a little bit. What do you think?
I think that's right. But as much as I want to, you know, give credit to Obama, and I do, I also think that before you get to this next level of cabinet appointments, look at the people he surrounded himself with in terms of the White House apparatus, mm-hmm. from Valerie Jarrett to David Axelrod, some of the others. These people ran one of the smoothest presidential campaigns in memory. They've got this down to a science, and what I saw was he spent about a week or so putting his own staff in order and getting them fully in charge of the process before they then went out and went to the cabinet level. So what I like as a business person, and what I think many of your listeners would see, would like as well, is a very smoothly operating managerial style that doesn't seem to lurch from crisis to crisis,
right.
but has
right.
a plan and executes on that plan. And as you and I both know, in business, execution is everything.
Yes, that's exactly right. So, let's talk about some of the specifics. Number one is somebody that you have held dear for many years and have worked for, Senator Clinton, Senator Hillary Clinton, is being proposed, and it seems that she may actually accept the Secretary of State job. What do you think about that?
I'll give you a scoop of the day here. I have no doubt, and have had no doubt for more than a week or two, that she will take the job if it's finally offered, as everything's cleared away. And I think that, you know, this is the same woman. I love her dearly, but she told, you know, she stood on a stage, going back to our last comments, and said that Barack was too inexperienced in world affairs, and he said that her concept and experience in foreign affairs was limited to having tea with certain potentates. It got pretty nasty.
It did.
But the fact that they can find a way to live together says a lot. And the truth of the matter is, as most of your listeners know, Hillary is literally on a first-name basis with virtually every major world leader. She's been on the world stage in a press for the better part of 30 years. She, you know, just her experience and her command of the facts means when she shows up in a world capital, she will be treated with a great deal of respect and royalty, if you will, that goes beyond just her new cabinet post. And all of that will have an impact in favor of the U.S., I believe.
Well, the leaders who have not met her want to meet her.
You know, that's true, and also, you know, when you look at what her husband's doing around the world in terms of the AIDS and the rest of it, I mean, they're a very visible couple, and you know, in our age of celebrity, even foreign potentates understand that some of that celebrity can wear off pretty well on you if you use it right, and so I think that she'll find a lot of open doors, and I think Obama will benefit because he will see those doors opened, where if he had gone with the sort of the typical second-tier person, it would be all on Obama's personal efforts in terms of diplomacy, and here I think he's got a quick leg up.
Well, the other thing, his pick, and I agree with you, and I think Hillary will bring a level of gravitas to that job that I think perhaps Condoleezza Rice may not have, and also Madeleine Albright. I don't think either one of those will have had the gravitas that Hillary will bring. Let's move over and talk about the Secretary of Treasury.
Let me stop you there for a second. I think Condi Rice had gravitas because everybody knew she had the unrivaled ear of Bush.
Well, okay.
I think that the nature of the gravitas that Hillary brings, and you're right, is beyond that. She'll certainly have the ear of Obama, but in her own right, what's more important is she has the ear of the Democratic Party and a large segment of the American population, and foreign leaders will know that. They're not just talking to the Secretary of State. They're talking to an American icon.
When we come back, I'm going to ask Bill to talk to us when we come back about Tim Geithner, who's the proposed Secretary of Treasury, and which seems to have soothed a lot of minds, calmed a lot of fears, and a few other issues. When we come back after these messages, 20 after, I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with me. We're back. It's 23 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thanks for hanging out with me. My website's smallbusinessadvocate.com and askjim.biz. Hope you'll check those out. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter when you get to smallbusinessadvocate.com. I think you'll like it. We send it to you every Sunday afternoon. Get you ready for the week ahead. Bill Brand is our guest. He's President of Development Specialists Incorporated, DSI.net. Is that right?
No, .biz.
.biz. DSI.biz. And folks, I encourage you to go there because Bill posts a number of very important and very informative columns, articles there that I think you ought to check out. I think it'll help you in your small business. Bill, I was asking you about the Secretary of Treasury, Tim Geithner, who's currently the president of the New York State Bank. New York Federal Reserve Bank is what I meant to say, which is the 800-pound gorilla bank among the 12 Fed banks. You don't get to be the Fed bank anywhere, but let alone the president of the New York Bank, if you don't have your cornflakes together. He's worked for Republicans, he's worked for Democrats. This guy is a serious guy, isn't he?
Yeah, I rode back, rode from Chicago to New York yesterday on the same plane with him. He had just finished his conference with Barack, the press conference, and he ran back and caught the 1:10 American flight, and I happened to be sitting in the row behind him as we were heading to New York and we chatted just briefly, he did mention to me, Jim, that you're overdrawn again. And he wanted me, particularly when he heard I was going to be on the show, to
yeah.
He said those debit charges are getting out of
hand.
He's everywhere. I'll leave that with you, yeah. He's a 47-year-old ball of energy. There's just no other way to describe him, who's incredibly bright. And as you point out, it's one thing to be on the Fed board, but when your own peers on the Fed elect you the Fed president of that branch, it tells you, as you phrase it, you do have your cornflakes together. This is a guy who understands at a moment of crisis in Wall Street and Main Street, but more Wall Street. He understands the dynamics of the street. He understands how it works. He knows what levers to pull and push. He does that all day long. None of this will be a learning experience for him. He'll hit the ground running. And I think if you take Larry Summers, who looks at big, larger macroeconomic issues, and you put him on the Economic Council, that's just a dynamite team. It really is.
Well, you know Larry Summers pretty well, I'm sure.
I do. I've met Larry on more than a few occasions.
Yeah, and so he's a pretty serious guy. And you know, obviously there are plenty of things that the Republican establishment can pick apart about these guys. But you gotta believe that Barack, at least initially, notwithstanding the office of the president-elect, notwithstanding that, he does seem to be doing some thoughtful things, and he's not telegraphing, at least, that he's going to go wandering off into the left part of the world, and I think he's smart enough, and his organization is smart enough to know that he's going to have to wander around in the center for a while, isn't he?
I think that the appointment of Geithner and even Summers, I think there are many Republicans who are very fond of these guys. And you may differ from time to time on some of their economic philosophy, but they're both thought of as incredibly competent. Summers was running Harvard for a while, which has a pretty good mix of both liberals and conservatives. And Geithner, you know, just the response of what I would call the conservative moneyed class to Geithner's appointment was 300 and some points on Wall Street. These guys get it. I would agree with you, and I've said so on your show before, that if Obama has to learn anything, and I think he doesn't have to learn much, but what he has to understand, he has to govern from the center. This is not your Nancy Pelosi's father's president, as they say. This is a centrist president, and he's got to move to the center. He's inevitably going to disappoint many people on the Democratic fringe, the folks who subscribe and play at the Daily Kos blog and the rest of it. But he's going to have a sister soldier moment here as soon as he's sworn in. There's going to be a lot of disappointment that he's going to pursue centrist policies, but in the current crisis, that is the only way to govern a fractured country.
Some people have been proposing that Bush step down early, that we swear in Obama sooner, et cetera, et cetera. These are serious people who've been proposing this, but do you think they're serious in their proposal of that, Bill?
I think they're nuts. I think they're just flat nuts.
Before we get to that, here, answer my question. Are they serious when they propose these things?
Jim, I haven't seen, those funny yellow cigarettes with twisted ends. The last time I saw a bunch of those were in college. Obviously, somebody ran into an old stash of them somewhere. I just think this is, look, one of the things, Democrat or Republican, we pride ourselves on an orderly transition of government. We've been doing it for 200 years. Some people apparently have a bad case of the willy-nillies. I like the fact that there's a transition. It used to be March for Hoover waited. Hoover had FDR wait until March. Nobody needs to do anything other than what the Constitution provides and what we've done by tradition. That's stability.
Exactly.
But if you have some more of those funny yellow cigarettes, I'll take some.
There you go. But, I mean, I that just blows me away for people to behave
childish,
like that.
Just childish.
It's unbelievable. And I'll tell you what else. It makes them look not as serious as we thought they were.
When you were talking about governing from the center, there are a bunch of people at the fringe, and even though they're serious people, they're quickly getting there, who are coming up with what I would consider to be just nutty ideas. And better they should just grab both sides, just sit in a chair with arms and grab each of the arms with their hands and sit tight till January 20th. We'll make it.
Well, and the thing is, though, is when they behave that way, it helps Obama to be able to disregard them in the future.
It does. The other thing is that what we're having in Wall Street, as you know, Jim, is a crisis of confidence. And crazy voices screaming at the top of their lungs that the theater's on fire are not a real help right now.
Right. No, that's exactly right. Bill, hold on that thought. We're going to ask Bill to stay another segment with us, because when we come back, there's a program called as a public works program to rebuild our infrastructure being proposed. And I want to ask Bill about that and others' issues right after these messages. 29 after. Stay with us.
Talkers Magazine calls Jim Blasingame one of the best talk show hosts in the industry.
Now remember, I do my best work when I'm being worshipped as a god.
He's Jim Blasingame, the small business advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thanks very much for hanging out with me. Thanks for staying with me. And we still got Bill Brandt with us. Bill is the President of Development Specialists Incorporated, DSI.biz. It's his website. I hope you'll check it out and use it to your advantage. Bill, I've been hearing this some comments about from I guess maybe perhaps from the president-elect himself. I can't remember. About the problem we've got in this country with the aging infrastructure, the bridges, the roads, et cetera, et cetera. And that they're sounding a little bit like FDR with his public works programs. Are they proposing, am I correct when I say that they're proposing to put people to work in America, all these people who've been laid off and are going to be, we're going to put them to work rebuilding our infrastructure? Is that correct?
Jim, it reminds me of our college grades. If you recall CCC, which was that organization
right.
that the FDR that, had.
I was nostalgic for. I love
In my case, it just makes me look like my transcript in college. But
right,
any case,
that's right.
The answer is nothing is definitive yet, and the Obama people will tell you that every idea in the world is being tossed around, and I, for one, am happy that every idea in the world is, you know, nothing is ruled out, ruled in. But if I had to be to guess today, I think that a significant portion of his stimulus bill will speak to some kind of updated version 70 or 80 years on of the Civilian Conservation Corps, and it'll be done with respect to infrastructure.
Real people, people who are getting laid off in America today are not going to take a job building a bridge or a road.
You know, but
I don't understand. This isn't like the Great Depression, Bill, when people came off, they were glad to have a job because their previous job was on the farm and they lost their farm. These are people who work in cubicles who are getting laid off. They don't know how to handle a shovel or a bulldozer.
You know, we don't use shovels on bridges anymore. Let me tell you what they do know how to do. If they're engineers or technicians, those bridges now need a level of planning, engineering, and infrastructure with respect to communications and wires.
You can't convert those jobs, Bill, over to this will never work.
I'm not sure what'll work. I think they're not ruling anything in or ruling anything out, but they are talking about a combination of both training and the jobs, and I think it has to be both. I would be the first one to agree with you. You're not going to hand a guy coming out of a cubicle a shovel, but you can hand a guy coming out of a cubicle a training class somewhere for a new, you know, for the new information age or the rest of it, and then see if you can put him to work as part of the government program.
Here's another reason why I don't like it. The government doesn't need to be in the business of making jobs. It needs to be in the business of getting out of the way so people like you and I make jobs.
I would agree, but in an era when interbank lending appears to be a problem and there's a credit crisis, at some point you've got to put people to work. And I'm not talking about the government as the first alternative, nor is Barack. I think he's talking about it, as are his people, as the last alternative. It needs to get done. We'll let the work. I'd be perfectly happy, and I think, Jim, you'd be perfectly happy, if the infrastructure, instead of being done by a CCC-type crowd, contracts were given to major construction companies who were also given tax credits to train people to come to work for them and figure out how to do it. And I think that's the difference between now and 1930. In 1930, you know, we
handed them a shovel.
We handed them a shovel and said, see you, you know, in the Southwest Desert, you're going to build the Hoover Dam. Now we hand them a voucher and send them to a company, and there's a tax credit for training, and they do or they don't do it.
We'll see, but I'm going to be watching them real close on that one, Bill. Hey, Bill, talk to us a little bit about your update on the economy and where we're going.
Well, it's pretty miserable, as you know. This is going to be a real tough Christmas for retailers, which leads to a January-February era, which is going to be even rougher than we're seeing now. There won't be big orders for inventory for next Christmas. People are going to pull in their horns, and I think this is the leading edge of of several years, Jim. I hate to phrase it that way, of several years of tough times. Now, it's not going to get, you know, terribly worse. I think the nadir of this will be probably in the first and second quarter of next year. But I don't think we're going to then climb right up like a hockey stick, you know, curve out of it. It's going to be, we're going to muddle through this for a good 18 months to 24 months before we begin to see the incipient growth we need. And it'll be at least 36 to 40 months before people start feeling good about the direction again.
Are we going to have a new kind of a complete new look on capitalism after this?
Well, we have one now, and I'm not real comfortable with it, and neither are you. The idea that Daddy Warbucks is writing checks left and right without much accountability scares the bejesus out of me. I would like to slow the train down. I admit that I'm not happy to see Citicorp fail. I wasn't at all happy to see Lehman fail.
Yeah.
But I think some more deliberate thought is in order here.
Yeah, I agree with you. We'll keep asking you those questions, continuing to ask you to give us your perspective and updating us on that. Hey, Bill, thanks for being here. Good job today, as always. And I want you to know that I sleep a little better every night knowing that you're making a major contribution to the world.
And, Jim, I can't tell you how important to me is to have an officer president-elect.
I know. Me too. Thanks, Bill. I'll see you.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.